Welcome back to the OU Nachyomi Project and our series on the book of Divrei Hayamim Aleph. In today's shir, we study Perek Chafchet, chapter 28. Pasuk Aleph, Vayakel David et kol sarei Yisrael. David gathered together all the leaders of Israel, and these leaders included the following subgroups, sarei hashvatim, the leaders of the tribes. We had a list of them in the middle of chapter 27 in yesterday's chapter. The sarei hamachlokot hamishartim et hamelech, and the leaders of the different divisions who served the king. We saw that every month there was a different leader in charge of 24,000 men, and every month they served the king. And we saw the names of these leaders in the beginning of chapter 27. The sarei halafim v'sarei hamayot, those we said were the battalion commanders and the company commanders of the army. The sarei kol rechush u'mikneh lemelech u'levanav, and the financial ministers in charge of all the property and the cattle of the king and his children. Ima sarisim v'agiburim, together with all the servants of the king and all the powerful people in his government and all the wealthy people, David gathered them all together in Yerushalayim in order to present to them his plans for building the Beit HaMikdash, and also in order to charge Shlomo in public about this need, not only to build the Beit HaMikdash, but also to follow God properly. Now that they're all gathered in Yerushalayim, most likely they're gathering at the site where David plans to build the Beit HaMikdash, at the threshing floor of Arabna, the Jebusite, as we saw that story in chapter 21. In Pasuk Bet, Vayokum David HaMelech Araglav, David stands up in front of this gathering of all the important people of the nation, Vayomer, and he says as follows, Shmo'oni Achai Ba'ami, listen please, my brethren and my people, Anim Levavi Livnot Beit Menucha La'aron Brit Adonai, it was my intention, it was in my heart, to build a final resting house for the Ark of God's Covenant. He's referring here, obviously, to the Beit HaMikdash. I got everything ready to build a place for God to rest, a house that would symbolize His presence among us, and I prepared everything to build this house. Pasuk Gimel, Vaha'elohim amarli, lo tivne bayit lishmi. However, God told me, even though I really wanted to build this house for God, God told me that I can't be the person to build this house for God's name. Ki ish mechamot ata v'damim shafachta. Because I, David HaMelech, was a man of war and spilled too much blood. When we discussed this in detail in chapter 22 and in chapter 17, we saw that this is not necessarily referring to something negative that David had done in relation to his own personal behavior, but rather his time period was one of war, and the Beit HaMikdash has to be built in a time of peace, because once the Beit HaMikdash is built, as we'll see in the chapters that discuss Shlomo's prayer when he actually builds the Beit HaMikdash, one of the key functions is the Beit HaMikdash being open for non-Jews to come and visit. During a time period of war, when other nations don't look up to us, it will be difficult for us to represent God in their eyes. Therefore, there's a necessity to have a generation and a time period of peace and quiet and tranquility in order to make this building project of the Beit HaMikdash more successful. So David is explaining to the people, my generation was a generation of war, and therefore God said we couldn't build. However, Pasuk Dalet, Vayivchar Adonai Elohei Yisrael bi mikol beit avi lo lemelech al Yisrael lo'olam. However, Hashem, the God of Israel, chose me from everyone else in my father's household to be destined to become the king over Israel forever. That was God's answer to David when he wanted to build the Beit HaMikdash. Recall that God told David, I'm going to build a house for you so that you can build a house for me. God told David he will begin a dynasty that will be the permanent dynasty over the nation of Israel. Ki b'Yehuda b'char l'nagid, because God had chosen the tribe of Yehuda to take the leadership role. U'v'veit Yehuda b'et avi, and from the tribe of Yehuda, from all the families, he picked the household of my father. Uvivnei avi bi ratzal lamlicha Yisrael, and from my entire father's house, from the house of Yishai, God chose me from all of his sons to be king over Israel. That is the story when Shmuel comes to anoint David, and before anointing David, Yishai had showed him all his other sons, and God rejected all of them and picked only David. Pasuk Hey, and now David is continuing this train of selection to his son Shlomo. Umikol banai, and from all my children, ki rabim banim natan li Adonai. For indeed, God had blessed me with many children. Vayivchar b'Shlomo b'ni. From all my children, God had chosen specifically Shlomo, l'shevet al kisei machut Adonai al Yisrael, to be the one to sit on the throne of the kingdom of God over Israel. Of all my children, God had chosen Shlomo to be my successor. Pasuk Vav, vayomer li. God had told me and explained to me as follows, Shlomo b'incha hu yivneh b'ti v'chatzirotai. Your son Shlomo, he will be the one to build for me my house and my courtyards. Ki bacharti vo li leven, I chose him to treat him like my son, bani eyelo lav, and I'll be like him, like a father. This is what God explained to David back in chapter 17 in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, and in the parallel chapter in Shmuel Bet, chapter 7, that the relationship between God and the house of David, and especially with Shlomo, will be a father-son relationship, one where you're chosen. God can't go back on that choosing. Once a son, always a son. But also, to the point that a father is much more strict with his son than with somebody else. Therefore, he warned them that if Shlomo does something wrong, God will be very quick to punish him. And hence, Shlomo is warned that he has to be on his toes all the time to make sure to follow God properly. Pasuk Zayin. Vachinoti et malchuto adolam. God explained to David that he had prepared the kingdom of Shlomo, that he should become king forever. Im yechazach lasot mitzvotai umishpatai kayom hazeh. Only on the condition, if he continues to keep my laws and my commandments, as he's doing to this day. Here we see that God's promise to make David's kingdom an eternal one, and especially a successful one, is dependent on to what degree the king follows God's laws. This idea of the house of David HaMelech being chosen to eternally be the dynasty of Am Yisrael is very similar in its nature to God's choice of Am Yisrael. When God chooses Am Yisrael to become their nation, so the relationship is eternal, but the promise is not that God will always take care of us. The promise is that God will always oversee our history and reward us for doing a good job and punish us for doing a bad job. In the same manner, to the house of David, God is promising David HaMelech that his family will always be the leadership echelon, but he doesn't promise them that they'll always be successful. He warns them that they'll only be successful if they follow God's mitzvot. But if they do a poor job of following God, God also promises that he'll punish them much quicker because he has higher expectations from them. The model through which God treats the house of David in many ways is similar to the model through which he treats the nation of Israel. Pasuk Chet, V'ata l'nei kol Yisrael, ka'al Adonai b'znei Elohim. And now David is saying, in front of all the eyes of Israel, in front of this whole congregation, and in the ears of our God, Shimru v'dirshu kol mitzvot Adonai Elohim. Make sure to keep and desire to keep all the commandments of Hashem our God, L'man tirshu et ha'aretz ha'tova, in order that we become worthy to inherit this good land, v'inchaltem livnechem achreichem arolam. And by keeping God's laws, that will ensure that you'll be able to inherit this land to your children, and they to their children, forever. So these are the words that David speaks to the leaders of Israel who have gathered, explaining to him why he did not build the Beit HaMikdash, but why he got everything ready, and why it's going to be the job of his son Shlomo, who's going to be his successor, to build the Beit HaMikdash. Now, beginning with Pasuk Tet, he's going to charge his son directly in front of this gathering of all the nobility of Israel. V'yata Shlomo b'ni. Now you, Shlomo, my son. Da et Elohei avicha v'avdehu. Know the God of your father and serve him properly. To know God, we explain many times, is not something intellectual, but something behavioral. To know God is to internalize the idea in your belief that God exists, which have an effect on the way you behave. And how must you serve him? Belev shalem uvenefesh chafetza, with a full heart and with a desiring soul. Ki chol levavot doresh Adonai. God looks after the hearts of all men. V'chol yetzer machshavot mevin, and he understands all of man's thoughts. This phrase yetzer machshavot most likely is based on the pasuk in Perek Vav in Sefer Breshit, chapter 6, verse 5, which introduces the reason for God bringing the flood. Vayar Hashem ki rabba rat ha'adam ba'aretz v'chol yetzer machshavot libo rak rak kol hayom. God is not only looking at their actions, but the reason that leads to these actions, that's referred to as chol yetzer machshavot libo rak rak kol hayom. Im tidrushenu yimatzelach, if you search for God, if you look for him, you will find him. Vim tazvenu yasnichacha la'ad. But if you abandon God, he will abandon you forever. This point that David is making to Shlomo is not just a point that's important for Shlomo, it's important for all mankind. It's a very basic point about spirituality, about ruchaniyut, that the biggest punishment for someone who doesn't search God and look for God is the consequence that he won't find God. The punishment for not wanting to be close to God is exactly the punishment. Not wanting a connection to God and not looking for any spirituality, that in itself is the biggest punishment. We saw the same concept in Gan Eden. After man had sinned, he had ruined his relationship with God, and his punishment for not following God in Gan Eden was the consequence of his acts. And he was banished from Gan Eden. He was distanced from that connection to God. And here David warned Shlomo about the same idea. If you don't look for God, you won't find him. And that in itself will be your punishment. You'll leave him and he'll leave you. Pasuk Yod, Re'eh Ata, I want you now to understand, Ki Adonai Bachar Bacha Livnot Bait L'Mikdash, Chazak Vaseh. It's you who God has chosen to build the house to be this Beit HaMikdash. Chazak Vaseh, be strong and do it. So in these last two psukim, David charges Shlomo directly in front of all these leaders, warns them about the threat, what would happen if he leaves God, promises him that God would be with him should he follow him, and encourages him to keep the mitzvot in the proper manner, to be strong, and he'll be able to build this house for God and be successful. After this charge, David is going to officially pass over to Shlomo all the plans and all the materials that he had prepared, as we discussed in the last 5-6 chapters. Pasuk Aleph, Vayitein David Shlomo b'no et tavnit ha'olam. David gave over to Shlomo's son the architectural plans for the palace itself. Yulam is the entry room leading into the Beit HaMikdash. Viet Batav, its different houses or buildings. Vigan Zakav, the different storage rooms. Valiotav v'chador ha'pinimim, the second level or the upper stories of the buildings and its internal rooms. Ubeit HaKaporet, and also the plans for the Kodesh Kodeshim, the place where the Kaporet will be. The Kaporet is a cover over the Aron, and hence the area of the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKodeshim. V'tavnit kol asher haya beruach imo, lechatzot beit Adonai, ulecho halashachot saviv, and the plans for everything that David had the spirit to understand. God had inspired David, together with the prophets Shmuel and Natan and Gad, to give them the wisdom to make the proper types of plans to build the Beit HaMikdash, for the courtyard of God's house, and all the different office buildings around it, lo'otzrot beit Elohim, and also for all the storage rooms, for all the treasuries of God's house, lo'otzrot ha'kodeshim, and the storage for all the treasuries of everything that will be dedicated to God's house. Pasuk Yud-Gimel, ulemachlekot ha'kohanim v'alevim. He also gave over to Shlomo the division into these different groups of 24, be it the 24 groups of Kohanim and the 24 groups of Levim, both the Shoarim, the gatekeepers, as well as the Meshoarim, as well as the choir members and the people who play the musical instruments, l'chom lechet avodat beit Adonai, for all those in charge of all the work for God's house, ulecho klei avodat beit Adonai, and everything that was necessary for all the utensils that were needed to do all the work that's necessary in the Beit HaMikdash. Now we get a list of all the different materials that David had gathered together for this construction. Lezahav, b'mishkal lezahav, all the gold and the weight of all the gold. L'chol klei avodah b'avodah, for all the different utensils and vessels that need to be constructed out of gold. L'chol klei kesef b'mishkal, for all the utensils that will be made out of silver. He gave over that amount of silver as well. L'chol klei avodah b'avodah, for every type of service that was necessary. Pasuk Tedvav, u'mishkal limnorot hazahav, and the proper amount of gold for the lamps, or what's called the menorah, the candelabra. Nerotem zahav, and also for their candles made out of gold. The candles in ancient times were not made out of wax. The ner is also made out of gold. The ner is what holds the wick and the oil. But the ner itself is detached from the candelabra. That was taken off every day, cleaned out and refilled with oil and a wick, and then placed back up on the menorah. That's called hatavat hanerot. That was the work of the kohanim every day. So David gave Shlomo all the gold that was necessary to build the menorah and the nerot. B'mishkal menorah u'menorah v'nerotah, based on the weight and need of every menorah and its candles. We'll see later on that there wasn't just one menorah in the temple that Shlomo builds. There's going to be 10 menorot instead of one. V'limnorot ha'kesef u'mishkal limnorah v'nerotah, kavodat menorah u'menorah, the proper weight of silver that was necessary to make the silver candelabras based on the needs of each menorah. Pasuk Tzayin, v'hazahav mishkal l'shulchanot hamarechet l'shulchan v'shulchan, and also the amount of gold that was necessary to build the shulchan. That was a special table that would hold the showbread called the lechem apanim. And just like there were 10 menorot in the Beit HaMikdash instead of one, we're also going to see that Shlomo builds 10 shulchanot in this Beit HaMikdash instead of one. V'kesef l'shulchanot ha'kesef, and also the proper amount of silver for the tables that will be made out of silver. V'mizlagot v'mizrakot v'ksavot zahav tohor, and pure gold that was necessary to make the different forks and basins and jars, all that would be made out of pure gold. V'lechforei hazahav v'mishkal lichfor uchfor, v'lechiforei hakesef v'mishkal lichfor uchfor. A chfor seems to be the bowl that they would collect the blood in, because the act of sprinkling the blood on the mizbeach is called lechaper al mizbeach. The utensil that holds the blood is referred to as a chfor, from the Lashon of Kaper. So therefore, these different basins that they would collect the blood in after shechting the animal, some are made out of gold, some are made out of silver. This description of Kfor Ukfor, these little basins, which the Mishnah also calls Mizrakim, which are used to collect the blood and then sprinkle that blood on the Mizbeach, that they were made out of gold and silver, reminds us of the Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim in the 5th Parak, where the Kohanim Omdim Shurot Shurot Uvidei Mizrakei Kesef Uvizrakei Zahav Shura Shekulo Kesef Kesef. One line of Kohanim, who were passing these basins from one to the next to take the blood from the person shechting the Korban Pesach all the way to the Mizbeach in an assembly line type of procedure. So one line of Kohanim that had silver basins was only silver, v'shrash kula zahav zahav, and one line that had golden basins was only gold. And that way, in a very beautiful manner, these basins would be going from hand to hand, but every line would be passing the same type of metal. So there'd be one line of silver and one line of gold. David gave Shlomo the proper amount of gold and silver to make those vessels as well. And finally, Pasuk Yudchet, u'lemizbach haktoret zahav mezukach b'mishkal, and pure gold which was necessary to make the incense altar, the mizbach haktoret, which is located inside the Kodesh, u'letavnit ha-merkava, and also the gold that was necessary to make the plans for the merkava, which is the chariot, which will be holding the kruvim on top of the Aron, ha-kruvim zahav la-porsim, the gold necessary to make the golden cherubs, the kruvim, that spread their wings on top of the Aron, v'sochachim al-aron brit Adonai, they cover and hover over the Ark of God's Covenant. It's quite clear that the words that David HaMelech uses in his address to the people gathered around are taken from the instructions that God gives Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai in regard to how to build the Mishkan, from Parshat Truma in chapter 25 in Sefer Shemot, and Pasuk Chaf in verse 20, Vayu ha-kruvim porsei chnefayim lemala. The kruvim that are on top of the Aron will be spreading their wings from above, sochachim b'chanfehem ala kaporet, hovering over with their wings over the kaporet, the lid over the Aron. It's also interesting to note that later when Shlomo actually builds the Beit HaMikdash, based on the plans that David gives, the kruvim themselves will be quite different than the kruvim that were in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, the kruvim are located on top of the lid, called the kaporet, that covered the Aron. We're going to see when we study Dibra Yamim Bet that the kruvim that Shlomo builds are not on top of the Aron, rather they have their feet on the ground in the Kodesh Kodeshim, the much larger, and their wings cover over the Aron. When we study that chapter, we'll try to explain why. Pasuk Yotet, Hakol Bichtav Miyad Adonai Alai Hiskil. All these plans were written down as given to David by God through his Nevi'im, and God had given him the understanding and the wisdom in order to make these plans. Kol Malachot HaTavnit, all the architectural plans and all the plans for making not only the building but also the different vessels, everything was given over by David to his son Shlomo in this official setting to make sure that Shlomo would fulfill David's goal in a diligent manner. Now to conclude the perek, David is going to give one final charge to his son Shlomo to make sure that he gets the job done. Pasuk Chaf, Vayomer David Shlomo Bno. David said to Shlomo his son, Chazak v'yamatz v'asei. Be strong and be courageous and do the job. Al tira v'atechat. Don't be fearful. Do not worry. Anyone familiar with the opening chapter of the book of Yeshua realizes right away that David is using wording very similar to God's opening charge to Yeshua when he took over from Moshe Rabbeinu and was given the job of conquering the land of Israel. In a similar manner, Shlomo is now taking over for David. He's charging him not to be fearful, to be strong and be courageous. He has a big job to do. Ki Adonai Elohim Elohai Imach, because Hashem, who is God, and He's been my God, He'll be with you. Lo yarpecha v'lo yazveka. He won't abandon you. He won't leave you. Alichlot kol mlechet avodat beit Adonai, until you conclude and finish all this construction and work for the house of God. Now, David concludes by telling Shlomo, you're not doing this by yourself. I have everything organized and lots of people are going to help you. Pasuk Aleph, v'nei machlokot ha-kohanim ha-levim l'cho avodat beit Elohim. And behold, I have for you all these divisions and groups of Kohanim and Levim, as we explained in the last several chapters. The Kohanim were already organized to officiate and bring all the Korbanot. The Levim are divided into working groups, both singers and gatekeepers and administrators, for all the work that's necessary for running the Beit HaMikdash. V'imcha b'chom melacha, and with you to do all the work in the construction, l'cho nediv b'chochma l'cho avoda, everyone who's volunteered to give the wisdom to get this work done, v'asarim b'chol ha'am l'cho dvarecha. The ministers and the leaders of the nation and the entire people will follow anything that you say. Everything is organized. You have to take charge and get the job done. So to summarize chapter 28, David HaMelech gives his final charge to his son Shlomo. David, we're going to see, is very worried about whether or not his son will actually get this job accomplished. And therefore, in the next chapter, in chapter 29, David is going to continue his speech to the entire nation and charge Shlomo once again in public and explain to him how important the job that lies before him is going to be. We'll continue the study in our shir on chapter 29.